Over the last few years, the people of St. Cloud and the surrounding area have developed a plethora of new and interesting community events, and one of them, the Downtown St. Cloud Art Crawl, has been evolving steadily ever since its inception about 7 years ago. And this year, the Downtown St. Cloud Art Crawl, taking place in the summer, has grown into a two-day event called the Sizzlin' Summer Downtown Art Crawl. This is Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC. And in today's news feature, we're going to preview some of the neat stuff going on this weekend for the Downtown St. Cloud Sizzlin' Summer Art Crawl and talk with some of the folks involved. From the unveiling of new and interesting sculptures to the completion of a 10-year project by the Liturgical Press of St. John's University and the welcoming back of a beloved artist to her former stomping ground, the Sizzlin' Summer Downtown Art Crawl this time around, with its expanded hours of 4 till 10 p.m. today, Friday, August 17th, and Saturday from 11 until 4 p.m., will certainly be one to remember. We'll start off today talking with Jules Amici from Jules Bistro, one of the original founders of the Art Crawl, to see what makes this downtown St. Cloud institution the groovy community event that it has become.
Well, I am Jules, the owner of Jules Bistro, and one of the founders of the Art Crawl.
And what kind of things does the Art Crawl have coming up this time around? It's a two-day event, and there's quite a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I think this is either the second or the third year of doing a two-day event, and we're calling it the Summer Sizzling, which is a bit comical because of the weather that we're looking at for the weekend, but I think it gives people a really good reason to come downtown. It's too cool to go to the beach, so we might as well come downtown. And we're looking at Friday and Saturday. Friday is 4 to 10. I think it would be geared a little more towards adults, probably. We're going to have, you know, the usual where you can walk around, look at art, do some food, wine tasting. We'll have some music. And then Saturday, we're actually going to have some hands-on children's activities, and that's from 11 to 4. And that'll be, I think, a little bit more family oriented, and we'll have live music, we're going to have demonstrations, we're going to have hula hoopers, fire eaters, and then we'll have someone demonstrating silk screening, screen printing, I should say. And then we also, Friday night, we're going to have, I believe it's the Mid-Minnesota Woodturners and the Great Theater Actors will be out as well.
Oh, cool. Just kind of wandering the streets doing things then.
Right. Well, they're all going to have, every location will have a set artist or demonstrator. And I counted this crawl, we're looking at about 34 sites that will be on the crawl. So bring your walking shoes for sure.
Yeah, in years past, or art crawls past, I found it rather difficult to actually hit all the places. Partially because there's a lot of them, but also partially it's kind of a very social event where all of a sudden you run into somebody and then you start to talking and then it's an hour later. And how have you noticed that evolve over the years? You know, just from the beginning to, you know, now it's a big thing.
It has become an event that businesses count on and that the community counts on as something to do. And this will be our seventh year. We'll be moving into our eighth year. The first years that we did it, we probably had a couple hundred people. The last art crawl we did a count on, we had 1,200 people. So it's really evolved. And it's evolved as far as just all types of people. And like you said, it's a community event. I counted once where you could probably spend about 15 minutes per location if you just went in there and looked. But you're right. This time we did expand hours because we have many more locations. And so it's an hour earlier and an hour later on Friday.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Do you guys have anything unique going on in here that you want to put out there?
Yeah. Well, Jules, we're going to have Elise Christie is our artist, and she's going to be one of our demonstrators, and she also is going to be part of the Art Off, as far as we know. And she is my daughter, so her work is hanging in here, and she's got great work. We also are going to have glass blower this time, Michael Mills, and he has some really beautiful, beautiful pieces. And we will be tasting some new wines. So if people like wine, they should stop down and get a free sample of that as well.
Cool.
I just think that this has become a great event. And I think overall getting people downtown, not just for the crawls, all the other events that we have, the lights parade, the Wednesday nights at the Lake George. Yep. And, you know, so I think just getting people down here and enjoying what we have to offer downtown, I think is wonderful. We need to get down here and meet people and just see what we have to offer.
It seems to be happening. People seem to want to do it.
They do. Yeah. So come down.
Right on. Well, thanks for talking with me.
And one of the things that Jules talked about was Visual Arts Minnesota's Art Off, a collaboration of musicians and artists creating art. And now we're going to talk with one of the gentlemen involved with the Art Off, a musician and an artist, and they'll kind of let us know what all that's about.
My name is Quinn Bramlage in Pop Vultures. I am Kid Crimson.
I'm Colin Gerald, and I'm a local painter and furniture builder, theatrical extraordinaire.
And you guys are part of an interesting little partnership coming up for the Downtown St. Cloud Art Crawl this time around, the Art Off. What is the Art Off?
Well, so far as I know, what we're doing is getting together local musicians. We're going to do an outdoor performance during the Art Crawl, and there's going to be live painting and visual artists doing their things on stage and beside the stage with us while all of the rappers and DJs are performing.
That outside art feel has been really sort of growing, I feel. I've been able to do it myself during a couple of the previous art crawls and got a lot of really good feedback. So Visual Arts Minnesota is very ingrained with the art crawls. And through that, the idea came about that we should organize a place to have music. There is all sorts of local music, but it gets spread out and it's not always the easiest thing to find. So if you can open that up and allow more people to hear what we've got going on and then have people see the art and the process of the art being made at the same time, that combination of getting people together to communally create is it's only good for the whole community as a whole.
And where is this going to be exactly in the art crawl?
We're gonna be in the parking lot at Falcon National Bank. It's outdoor, get some sunshine. There'll be some shadowy cover for the pasty white folks like myself.
So what kind of music do you perform then? What is Pop Vultures? What are they about?
It's going to be hip-hop across the board on Friday night. We kind of have our own blend of, I guess you'd say, Midwestern hip-hop. Two MCs and one DJ, and then our DJ Sound Language is going to be performing with our dear friend Frosty, who is kind of the Lusitania to our Titanic, and ModCon's been around forever. We're really excited to have a chance to perform with them, and they do sort of a bigger band hip-hop thing, they always have a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Modern Condition, they're got their own shows at the Carpet and all that all the time. They're pretty intense. So, yeah. Okay, so Colin, what kind of art are you going to be producing?
I throw paint. So because I'm using all leftover things myself, I try to make it then and there, quick in the moment. We'll also have several other people. Pat Jensen, Trista Cole, and Heidi Stedman. I know Heidi does some things where she's taken clothing and painted on the clothing and then thrown that at the canvas, trying to do things that are spur-of-the-moment, sort of quick, to allow people to see a process fully come together and see a product come to life, and you can watch the whole thing go on.
I'm especially excited about this because I think it's a really perfect marriage. The kind of artists who are going to be joining us all have a very rhythmic style, and that live performance of painting along with music, I think, is going to come naturally for all the parties involved. It's going to be fun to draw energy from the visual artists as we're performing, and hopefully vice versa. I wouldn't mind bringing out some spray cans myself and doing some throwies on a sheet or something, big old, get some graffiti out there too.
Well, that is kind of one of the things, it's like on one hand, yeah, art is, it's a very serious thing, and you've got your certain skills, and when you're developing something, it takes some work, but at the same time, it's really friggin' easy. Mm-hmm. Right. You just do it, and I think maybe that's kind of the feel that you guys are going to be showing.
And if it's not spontaneous, it's not real, and that's kind of a major tenet of what we do as musicians, a lot of improvisation with lyricism and, performance and things like that, too. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to be able to influence each other in a live setting.
I agree. I like that spontaneous aspect in making art. Everybody sees the nice and the pretty objects. I like the fast speed of this throwing of this live thing, because you get the chance to make the bad paintings in front of people, but get to see why they may not like them or why they did not work. And if you have that sort of speed, you can't help but make something then, and it exists then. And you can't say, oh, it's bad, because you made it quickly, and you can move on.
Yep. Kind of letting it go, if you will. Yeah. So if people wanted to learn more about your guys' respective work, is there a way that they can get a hold of you? You got a website or anything? Or
Absolutely. Pop Vultures is on Facebook. We do have a MySpace page. It's getting pretty dirty and out of date, though. Well, not dirty in a good way. Frosty and Sound Language have a MySpace or a Facebook page, and so does Modern Condition. So you can find samples of our music on there, some photographs, and get a flavor for what we're about before you come down.
Cool.
I believe Visual Arts Minnesota, but they definitely have all the information you need. Or if you look at the Art Crawl website, all of those things lead to those things.
Cool. Well, thank you both for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Mr. Carmack.
Thank you.
Cool.
And next, we'll walk on down the street and drop in at Marischka's, one of the retailers that stays open for the Art Crawl.
Hi, I'm Mary Frankie. I'm the owner of Marischka's in downtown St. Cloud.
And, well, the Art Crawl is coming up both this Friday and Saturday. And what kind of stuff do you got going on for the Art Crawl this time around?
My artist is going to be a local gentleman whose name is Gary Locke, who deals with vintage cameras and vintage photographs that are taken with the vintage cameras, so actually very true art, so I'm really looking forward to that, as well as we're going to have lots of local musicians. A lot of musicians and performers will be out on the streets, which makes it all a little bit more festive, and we're looking for a really big crowd because the weather, it looks like, is going to be a little bit cool and perfect, so looking forward to it.
How have you noticed the Art Crawls evolving over the last few years, it looks like now?
Yep, the Art Crawls have become kind of a really look forward to an event in downtown St. Cloud. It's one of those events where you think there might be, quote unquote, a lot of women walking around, but there's actually a lot of families, there's lots of couples, it's a social event, there's children that are involved. The stores and the retailers and all of the people who host artists are very hospitable. They serve, you know, hors d'oeuvres and maybe glasses of wine or something to drink, and so it becomes very much a social community event. And it's grown enormously. It gets busier and busier every time. In fact, sometimes I wonder how many people can be fit into the store at one time. It's kind of a shuffle through, but everybody still sticks it out, tries to make it to all the stores, even though it's getting a little bit more difficult to get to all the stores. And that's one of the things we've done with this August Art Crawl, is we've extended the hours from 4 to 10 on Friday evening and from 11 to 4 on Saturday evening. We call it the Super Sizzling Art Crawl.
Even though it's not supposed to be sizzling.
No, it's actually going to be a little cool. It feels like fall weather this year, so, which I'll take.
Yep. So for folks who aren't familiar with Marischka's, there's actually kind of two parts to the store, actually, kind of the front and the back. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's really kind of an eclectic mix is how I like to think about it. I have a mix of antique furniture and decor, vintage jewelry, new clothing, new handbags, new scarves, but I also have the I guess you'd call it the man cave for a less of a better example. I carry a lot of up north vintage gifts. Some of it is like old lures, old duck decoys, old pictures. Some of it is new. I've got some new t-shirt. Kind of lends itself toward dad, grandpa, good gifts for you know, men that sometimes are a little bit hard to find. And so everybody really has embraced that. And so it really is generally an eclectic mix for everybody. Well, we just hope that everybody comes out and supports the Art Crawl. There will be one last Art Crawl on November 16th, which is also usually the holiday open houses. So it's the last Art Crawl of the summer. We used to have one in September, but we went to the two-day Super Sizzling in August, cut out the September, and then there will be one again in November. And I know that, you know, the artists really look for all the people. It's a way for local people to show their talent and be kind of part of the community without being part of necessarily a retail store. So we really do look at it as an art crawl. It's not just a retail event. It's not just for people to come out and go to the bars and restaurants. And it is support of all the retailers downtown, but it's really a showcasing of the community and the artists.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking with me.
You're
today.
Welcome. Thank you. Hope we all see you there.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC, and in today's news feature, we're getting a preview of the Sizzlin' Summer Downtown Art Crawl, taking place today, Friday, August 17th, from 4 until 10 p.m., and then tomorrow, Saturday the 18th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. Next up, we're going to backtrack a little bit and stop into the Paramount Visual Arts Center and talk with Melissa Goldman.
The Paramount Visual Arts Center is going to be open for the art crawl, and we've got the Artist of the Paramount exhibition, and it's the teachers, studio pass holders, volunteers, employees, and our day camp kids from this week will be putting on a group exhibition in Studio C, and then we're also going to be having some artist demos in the different studios, pottery demonstrations, glass, and wood turning. Well, this week is our last week of summer camps. We've had over 400 kids through in the last few weeks. And this week is kind of the culmination and the crowning jewel of our summer camps. It's our call, it's our day camp. It's ages four, or grades four through eight. And so a lot of the kids that have been here on and off all summer are here for a more extensive advanced camp. And so some of their works will be featured during the art crawl.
Okay, so the Paramount is also unveiling a pretty unique piece of art. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
July 21st, there was a river cleanup down at Wilson Park, and a bunch of community volunteers went into the river and pulled out litter and trash and different things that did not belong in the river. And so the Paramount has taken the choice goodies that were pulled out of the river from the cleanup, and our studio manager, Brady McLaren, has been working on it in private, so I don't even have any idea what it's going to be yet. But Brady's going to be unveiling that sculpture at the art crawl out in front of the Paramount Visual Arts Center. So it'll be out on the street in front of the Paramount. And so it's a mixture of their different bike tires and car rims and the most precious thing that's being incorporated into it was somebody found a message in a bottle. And so I think that a lot of those different elements will be tied into the sculpture.
So if people wanted to know more about Paramount Arts and, you know, what it has to offer, how would they go about doing that?
The Paramount actually has a brand new website. We just unveiled it 2 weeks ago, www.paramountarts.com. ARTS.org, and we've got all of our information on the new website that was designed here in-house by Peter Johnson, who's also a musician and an artist in his own right. And so we've got all of our information on the website. People can also call 259-5463 is the box office, and people can phone 257-5928 and get information about the art crawl and classes coming up. Our fall classes will be featured now. Our catalog is gone to print, and we'll be starting classes back up in October.
Well, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
And another aspect of the Sizzlin' Summer Downtown Art Crawl has to do with the literary world in a couple of the businesses involved. First, we'll stop into Books Revisited and see what they've got going on with a local author.
Sure. Yeah, my name's John. I'm one of the owners here at Books Revisited Bookstore Downtown, and we have a local author coming in on Friday, Jimmy Olson. He's got a new book out. This is kind of a book release party for him. It's called Hero of Blind Pig Island, which is kind of a interesting title, but it's basically a book of short stories, and it deals, they're all themed around islands, Caribbean islands, islands in northern Minnesota, you know, and it's short story format, so most of them are, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 pages. We've had Jimmy in for, he's written several other books, Poison Makers last year, and Things in Ditches, Mysteries, and so, yeah, but a great local author, and yeah, we're excited to have him.
And how have you seen the art crawls evolve over the years? You guys have been involved with them before.
Yeah, you know, we've been down here, you know, for most of them, and it's you know, the crowd seems to pick up. There's always some excitement that day, and but it's just neat. It's a great chance to come down and see some of the local artists, see some local talent. You know, it's always, it maybe shouldn't be, but it's always surprising just to see the, you know, the people amongst us and a lot of talent out there. So
nice, nice. If somebody wanted more information on Jimmy Olsen or, you know, Books for Visit in general, how they go about doing that?
Of course we're right downtown here. They can call us. We have a website, booksrevisited.com, and all the information is available there. I hope you come down and check us out.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
You bet. Thank you.
Right on.
And next, just down the street and around the corner on 7th Avenue, you'll find the Paper Collector and a very spiritual art display, the St. John's Bible. We're talking with Barry Hudock from St. John St. Ben's, from the Liturgical Press. And you guys are participating in the art crawl this time around at the Paper Collector with something that's really neat. It's the St. John's Bible. And people might not know exactly why this is such a special thing. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about the St. John's Bible, what it is, and all the work that's gone into making this?
Yeah, sure, I can. It sure is a special thing. The St. John's Bible is a handwritten Bible commissioned by the monks here at St. John's Abbey. And it's the first handwritten illuminated Bible to be commissioned by a monastery like this for about 500 years. I mean, since the printing press was invented. This used to be a common way of making the Bible available to people before there was a printing press. A monastery would commission usually a great artist and calligrapher to handwrite the Bible so that they would have a copy of it at their monastery. But, of course, that kind of fell by the wayside when Bibles could be mass-produced, and so it just hasn't been done. And so as the new millennium approached, the year 2000, the monks here at St. John's Abbey commissioned a great artist and calligrapher, Donald Jackson, from Wales. He's actually the official calligrapher of Queen Elizabeth, and they commissioned him to create this new kind of illuminated Bible. Not just he used ancient techniques, but it's not just kind of imitating an ancient style. It's a new Bible for a new age.
Wow! Literally, kind of old school printing there in a way.
Old school printing. He created a brand new calligraphic lettering. You know, he created the lettering just for this Bible and used, it includes illuminations, which in itself is an ancient craft. We're not just talking about illustrations in the Bible. Illuminations are a whole different thing. They're more kind of spiritual meditations on the text or interpretations of the text. It's a much more involved process, and there's a much deeper meaning than just to speak of kind of illustrations of the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. There's that visual medium that, yes, there's a story, there's a, you know, a parable, there's something going on, but then there's this deeper meaning, and that visual, I think, really brings it out. It goes beyond words.
That's right, yeah. And he worked with the monks here. There's a special committee here on campus of theologians and scholars who, all through the process, and this has been going on since 1998, the project was begun and just finished last year, all through the process, they worked with Mr. Jackson as far as what are the theological ideas, the spiritual ideas that they wanted to bring out. You know, this is it's a special project coming from a Benedictine monastery, a monastery of Benedictine monks, and they have their own kind of their own charism, their own special values, that sort of thing, and they worked to kind of draw that out in the way he illuminated the Bible. Also, kind of the concerns of modern-day people are different than the concerns of people 500 years ago. The way we understand the world and the way we understand God is different than people 500 years ago in some ways. You know, for example, I know he included in some of his illuminations, some of them were based on images from the Hubble telescope of the cosmos, of space. There's another illumination that includes an image of the kind of the double helix of the human DNA is included in there. So it's a good example of how he used ancient techniques but this is by no means just an imitation of an ancient Bible. It's a very modern Bible that can speak to modern people like an ancient Bible might not do in the same way. It's actually, the dimensions of it are, it's 2 feet tall, and then when it's opened, it's 3 feet across.
Wow.
Yeah. and it's we're talking about over 1,000, the entire thing is over 1,000 pages. I think it's close to 1,100 pages altogether.
Oh, easily. Yeah, I think so. Well, that is really, really cool. If people wanted more information, outside of the art crawl about the St. John's Bible, where would they go to for that?
Probably the easiest thing would be that we have a website about the Bible, and it is stjohnsbible.org.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thanks for talking with me today, Barry.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
And finally, our adventure through the sizzling summer downtown art crawl comes to a rest at the Pioneer Place Theater.
So we're catching up with Dan Barth at the Pioneer Place, and you're getting ready for this weekend's art crawl, as well as it's going to be a busy week for you.
You bet. The Summer Sizzler's always been a really good one. I like it because it's 2 days, and I also like the fact that they have the history hunt part of it, and as one of the owners of two historic buildings downtown, it's kind of fun to be part of that, too. We're really excited because we have one of our favorite artists that has ever been here, and that's Pam Tootsie McIntosh. And what's really special about Tootsie being here is years and years ago, before we even bought Pioneer Place, she actually had a store right up front where our fireside room is. So to get her back into the building, and it's always fun because she shares some old stories of the building when she was here, and she's got just this magnificent, colorful art that she calls Colorful Girl. And it's just brilliant. As a matter of fact, I have two pieces in my personal collection that I've bought over the years just because I think that they really enlighten the room, and it's so clever what she does with it. So it's always a dream for us whenever we can talk Tootsie into coming to our place for the art crawl.
So what is it about the art crawl that you really like?
What I like best about the art crawls, I've had the opportunity to do quite a bit of traveling throughout the United States and beyond, and it's always fun to get into those vibrant cities where you see the community coming together to do something really special. And if you can do it, tie it in that it's a free event, and then people can really get together and collaborate on projects. It's so much fun, and I think that's what this the downtown art crawl has really done. It's brought together a lot of the businesses, over 20 participating venues right now, on one common goal, and that one common goal is to give a voice to local artists, to allow them to share their talents, share their wares, and hopefully along the line be able to sell some of their works, you know, so that they can make a living off of this too. So we're just thrilled to have been a part of it since its origin, and want it to continue to grow and grow and grow. And the best part is the weather's supposed to be great, so hopefully everybody's out touring around on a beautiful August evening. So
basically you guys are going to be open for, I mean, because you're usually not open until like 4-ish or something like that, but you're going to be open Saturday for the daytime portion because, you know, it's the sizzling summer art crawl.
Exactly right, and that's kind of fun. You're exactly right. We typically don't open the Veranda Lounge until 4, but this is one of the days of the year where we open open early. So we're going to be open at 11 on Saturday, and we'll be part of the art crawl and some of the other festivities that are going on downtown, and that's just awesome because it's also leading up to our final performance of Collective Unconscious's The Last Waltz, which is just a dynamic show with over 21 band members, special guests, and orators. And it's just a fantastic show that's been running all week, including this tonight and Saturday as well. So it's really neat that the art crawl kind of fell right in the middle of this major event that we have going on. So just a thrilling weekend to be in downtown St. Cloud, and that's what I love about it.
Cool, cool. Oh, right on. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
My pleasure, Jeff, as always.
More information on the Sizzlin' Summer Downtown Art Crawl can be found in a few places online, including www.artcrawlstcloud.com, aroundthecloud.org, and the St. Cloud Downtown Council's website at stclouddowntown.com. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC News. And this report was made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.